You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The really tough question is, how much is enough?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Make us grateful for your grace and content with your kindness. Keep us from going along with the drift of the world, seeking only what is at hand and forgetting what comes from your hand. Help us to remember that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We pray to you in the name of Jesus as he told us to pray. Amen. Enough. It's a wonderful word. The story it tells can be either positive or negative. That's enough, says the irritated father to his children, who are having a good time making a lot of noise and preventing him from hearing his baseball commentator give the latest statistics on the batter approaching the plate, how many strikeouts he's had during the last 5 years, how many home runs he has hit against left-handed pitching, what the hitter said in the pre-game interview that the commentator managed to secure, offering the man the chance to appear on a post-game show. That's enough, and the boys and girls are supposed to fall silent. I've heard enough. People say that when they've finally been convinced. And they say the same thing when they refuse to be convinced, no matter what anyone says. Enough is enough. Or is it? Enough, shouts a man doubled up in laughter, his sides aching from the fun of it all. He hasn't had a time like this in years. He can't remember when he laughed so hard. The word enough lurks in the background. In it lies the unexplainable suspicion that this time may never recur again. It needs to be remembered as it is. The memorable moment, punctuated by enough. How much is enough? How much more is there? Or can there be? It was one of those moments. The whole thing started off with one man trying to make a name for himself, taking people off to jail, for one reason only. In their simplicity, convinced by incontrovertible evidence, moved by the Spirit of God, they had come to believe in Jesus Christ. On the Damascus Road, which runs along the Golan Heights today, this man was struck to his knees with a light pouring down on him, brighter than the light of the sun. Out of that light came a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" With unaccustomed humility, the man answered, "Who are you, Lord?" The answer came back loud and clear, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." It had been a long trek since that time, the time of trudging and training, success and failure, triumph and suffering. Now, finally, he was able to survey the scene in the clear light of faith toward the one whom he had once persecuted and now espoused, surrounded by the warmth of the love he had never known before. Now he understood love, being just as necessary for real life as breathing. The man said, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who is in a position to advise him? Who is given to him with the expectation that he will be paid back in return? Because from him and through him and to him is everything. To him be the glory throughout the ages. Amen." That amen seems almost to be the Hebrew equivalent of our enough. How much more is there or can there be? Amen for many people is the ever-living end. Farther than that, you cannot go. It's like the end of a chapter, or of a book, of a prayer, or of a lifetime. "Not so," said St. Paul. "It's the beginning. It's not over and out. It's not 30, by which newspaper men used to end their stories. From the heights of the heavens, you come down to the valleys of real living. It begins with the heights and the amens. It is the start of a new day. The dawn is coming up, and the heat of the day has to be faced. Amen." "How do you do that?" people asked. Paul was used to that question. Here's his answer. "I encourage you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your intelligent service to him. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the constant renewing of your mind, that you may put to the test what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and complete." Paul was talking to people surrounded by all kinds of pressures, forcing people to conform, and threatening them if they do not conform. To conform, for example, means that you agree that the most important thing in life is money. That has to be the standard by which success or failure is measured. If you have money, you are a success. If you don't have money, you are a failure. Your one goal in life has to be money in order to get the things that money can buy. Even to question that proposition, you could run the risk of being branded as the modern heretic. St. Paul was not campaigning against money, or even the things money can buy. He was simply pointing out that money is not everything, in spite of the feeling of millions of people that it is. In fact, when money becomes the object of consuming desire and even of worship, it isn't anything at all. What's more, life devoted simply to the pursuit of money isn't anything at all, no matter what people may say, or how many of them may spend their lives trying to figure out how to get more of it. Paul was not simply a nonconformist. People meeting him on the street would not have been impressed with his outlandish dress, his beard, or his hairdo. He never advocated being different, just for the sake of being different. But there was something different about him, and people noticed it. They wondered what made him think and act and talk as he did. There was a difference on the inside, coming out on the outside. People noticed something about the disciples of Jesus Christ. Eventually, they noticed it about Paul, too. They noted that these men had been with Jesus. The Spirit of Christ lived in them, the Spirit of the living God. They accepted the forgiveness of God for the sake of Christ as the greatest gift anybody can ever receive. They did not just talk about forgiveness, they acted it out in their own lives. They were forgiving, as Christ was forgiving. They remembered and told others about how Christ said on his cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul quoted Christ as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The whole pagan world was shaken by the mighty tread of men and women infected by the infectious spirit of Christ. I've learned, whatever the circumstances of life are at the moment, to be therewith content. People today find that kind of talk very unsettling. It runs counter to the whole drive of the world. People are encouraged to go out and get more and more of what is called this world's goods. If they don't, there must be something wrong with them. If they do concentrate all their efforts on the making of money, the acquisition of wealth, people praise them as the finest examples of what humanity can do. Enough is enough. People say that all the time. A mother gives her child some candy. The child asks for more and eats it. The child wants still more. The mother reacts. Enough, she says, is enough. A college student needs money. The father obliges. The next day, the young man desires more and is given more. The third day, he asks for money again. This time, his father says, enough is enough. A beggar comes to the door. He receives several dollars. A few days later, he asks for another handout. The next week, he returns for more. The answer he often receives is, enough is enough. A millionaire was once asked whether it was tough to make that first million. He replied, no, it was the second million that was tough. The really tough question is, how much is enough? How much does a person have to have in order to be satisfied? How many times do you have to forgive to reach the point where you say, enough is enough? How much faith is necessary to be saved? How much Bible study is enough? How much church attendance is enough? How much time? How much money? The demands upon people these days are great. They come from family members, the church, the community, the government, even from strangers. There's a steady flow of appeals and solicitations to help this or that good cause. How much is enough? I can understand people who grow weary of all the demands made upon them. They say, I've done my share. How much love am I expected to show? How much can you expect me to give and to do? How much is enough? This is a world of buying and selling. If you have enough money, you can buy anything. If you do enough advertising, you can sell anything. The whole idea is so common as to be undebatable. St. Paul debated it. Somebody told me the story of a man who came home after a hard day at the office, fighting the traffic, to be greeted by his wife and 3-year-old daughter. He stooped down in front of his little girl and he said, "How about a kiss for Daddy?" The little one must have had a hard day too, for her only response was, "No, no." Seeing the look on the father's face, the mother said, "I'm ashamed of you, Janie. Your daddy works hard all day to bring home a little money, and you behave like that." Taking the cue, the father asked again, "Okay, honey, come on now, where's that kiss?" The little 3-year-old looked him in the eye and replied, "Where is the money?" In a world of buying and selling, St. Paul charted a new course. He called it life. He described that life. "I am crucified with Christ," he said. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul appealed to people to live the new life in Christ. Forgiven and forgiving. The greatest thing about real life is also the hardest, the giving. It cost God the giver the apple of his eye, the son of his love, of whom he said himself, listen to him talking and see him dying for you. Surprised at his resurrection from the dead, trust me who raised him from the dead. It's God talking and acting as only God can. Now Paul turned to God's people, those who trust God, receiving his mercy and forgiveness with good and honest hearts. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is the most intelligent service you can bring to him. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed with the constant renewal of your mind, that you may test what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and complete. The greatest moments in life are the sacrificial moments. They're the times when you give yourself up to a great cause, when you forget yourself to follow the flag, in this case, the royal banners of the crucified Christ, who sacrificed himself in order to make you alive again. The death of Jesus was not a miscalculation. It was not an accident. He sacrificed his life to receive it back again in grace and glory. God did not say, enough is enough. He loves you with an everlasting love. He gave his best, his all, just for you. The promise of his sacrifice is eternal life. The life he gives right now will be realized in all its fullness throughout eternity. Are you thankful for the gift of life? Can you see, hear, and walk? Thank God. Can you work? Thank God. In a world where there's so much hunger, are you thankful for the food you have? In a world where there's so much sickness, are you thankful for the measure of health you enjoy? In a world where there's so much loneliness, are you thankful there are people who care for you? The kindness of God is in the oxygen you're breathing right now. Do you realize that if air were withheld from you for 5 minutes, you would be dead? Can you imagine what the sorrow and the sadness would be like if you had absolutely no hope, nothing to look forward to? A lot of people live that way, and they're not at all happy about it. I appeal to you, said Paul, by the mercies of God. It's the secret of life, as Paul had come to know that secret in Jesus Christ. Hold the secret with all the enthusiasm people have when they know a secret that needs to be told. By the mercies of God, present your very body as a living sacrifice, holy through the blood of Christ, and pleasing to God through faith in Christ. It's the best and the most intelligent thing you'll ever do in your lifetime, to live the real life in Christ. Don't be conformed to this age. This age is going by the board. At the end of this century, the age will have changed, and the pressures of the age will have changed too. Things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Don't be conformed to this age, but be renewed and transformed with the renewal of your mind, putting to the test what is the will of God for you, what is good and pleasing to him, with the promise of maturity and completeness found with faith in Christ and love toward God. Use your head and use your hands to lift, to carry, to push, not just for your own benefit, but also for others. Use your hands to write letters of encouragement. Use your voice to say a good word instead of a biting word. Use your hands to hug, to embrace, to pat someone on the back. Use your voice to say, good work, keep it up. This sacrifice comes from within, but it shows up on the outside. It's the character of Christ coming out in a human personality. How much is enough? In Christ, the whole question takes on a new personality. Enough is enough for the pressures and pursuits of this age. Nothing is too much, and only the best will do, with the mercies of God flooding in upon your life in Jesus Christ. Walking that road is like walking in His steps. It's the way of humility and sacrifice, the gracious root in the mercies of God. Come to the boulevard, the freeway, continually and always having in mind what the will of God is, what is good and pleasing to Him. The finality of it all, never once in doubt, because He has promised it. From Him, and through Him, and to Him, everything. To Him the glory throughout the ages. Amen.
Have been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.